Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi everyone and welcome to this week's Snowcast. I'm your host tonight, DJ Walsh, and we're here joined by my co-host as ever, Owen Tabb, tonight. And Owen, for the first time since the 12 Snogs, and the first time for a proper Snowcast that's not just us being absolute drunken arseholes, we're in Jeff's Cafe Bar in the Apple Market in the heart of Waterford City.
God, I forgot all about the fucking 12 Snogs.
Yeah, I think basically, the only reason I remember them is because they come up in the list every time that we look to publish episodes and stuff. Like,
what snug was that? Snug 8?
It was messy snug anyway. We're actually in a little snug next to the bar here. We're in the bar next to the snug here. The snug next to the bar. Jeez, we're not in the bar. Just alongside it there, a lovely little quiet spot. As you were saying, Owen, like, you rarely get it in a busy night, but you rarely even notice it because it's right out of the way. You really are tucked away.
Yeah, so the thing about Jeff's is that, like, yeah, it's always so busy, like, and like it's such a up and down, topsy turvy little nooks, like little rooms all over the place, and you're kind of like, yeah, you kind of know the areas that you might get a seat. So like back left, the kind of back right raised area, the big table on the right hand side of the pub, you kind of know that there might be a pocket or two of seats, you know, kind of share a table with people or something like that. So you're kind of racing towards them. You discount this thing altogether, but that's because, so you fly up the back of the place and you miss it altogether.
The gas thing for me about Jeff's is when you're outside Jeff's and you have a little look, and it looks tiny from the outside. It looks like it's a little barine, like nothing else going with it. And then all of a sudden you come in and it sprawls out to the back and opens up. And actually, because I'm not native to Waterford, and we're both relatively young in terms of the lifespan of this bar, even, like, Keith from Against the Current doing the Waterford Retro Festival, which will be the weekend after this episode comes out. So again, give a shout out to that. If you haven't heard that episode, listen back. He was saying about like how Jeff said, you'll notice now there's quite prevalent music in the background here on tonight's Snowcast, I'm sure. Keith was telling us that, like, basically how that started was they brought like vinyls out the front to try and attract people in to play music in the vinyls in the front of the bar, and that started attracting people in, and that's how it became a bar that played music and people just sat and had a drink and listened to music. They don't have any TV screens, it's just a music bar having a chat, which is the essence of what the Snowcast is all about.
Yeah, like this place is an absolute institution. Like, like I've been like talking to cousins, like older cousins of mine who are in their 50s and stuff, and when they were going to college in Waterford, like Jeff's is where you came to initially to go. When I was a teenager, Jeff's is where I came to initially to go out, like, you know. It's only now where, like, you know, so when I was a teenager, so say 18, like that's 2008, that's recession time in Waterford. Bars were closing, Like, there wasn't many options. There was that kind of, you know, there was that phase as well in Ireland where nightclubs were huge, right? So down at the, down at that kind of fucking...
The cross junction, which is actually the cross between John Street and then coming up to the Achillean Arcade. So, like, if you can imagine, a couple of our Instagram stories have been us walking to Philly's or Grady's Yard, coming around the corner after Owen's house. If you kept going on that way over John's Bridge to Grady's Yard, and kept going straight on, you come to that junction straight up the hill down to Jeff's here.
But, like, that corner was, I'd say, there was, I think, 5 nightclubs there in 2008. Just in that corner.
We came here with college, like, to exactly, them, yeah, yeah, on a mystery tour.
And got off that corner. But, like all of those have subsequently failed and closed, and there's kind of new generations of them and stuff. Like, so, I don't know, like, there's maybe 2 of them are kind of surviving there at the moment.
Two of them survived, and one has opened in a new.
Exactly,
iteration.
In a new, yeah. But anyway, you have that kind of. But you've had the resurgence of pub and pub culture and late night bars and things like that. Like, but Jeff's has been the institution throughout. So regardless of what age or what generation or what era you've been.
But it's because it's timeless. Like, it's actually timeless when you come in. They've got like old Smithick signs in the fireplace there. They've got just old gin signs everywhere. Like, they've got loads of really cool memorabilia, really cool furniture.
Like,
yeah,
it's like a skeleton up the back.
Like, you sit in a lovely, comfortable couch in 1 minute, and then the next time you come in, you might be on the most awkward, knobbly stool.
Yeah, we like.
We're sitting on like a church bench or something.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And lots of character about the place. And like that, you said, when I moved to Waterford first, the first thing I noticed was Jeff's is the place to go after work for a pint. Put it up on one of our social media accounts tonight, like, the perfect post-work pint is heading to Jeff's, having a couple of pints.
And even for, like, when you're going into town on a, say, Saturday or whatever, you walk past the window, it's just always, like, always people in here.
Yeah.
You know, you'd never come in here empty.
Like, what I always find fascinating about the place is the moment you open the door, the chatter hits you. It's like, do you know that slap of heat you get when you open the door when you're out off a plane in a hot country?
Coming
from fucking Ireland. You open the door, Jeff's, and that slap of chatter hits you, and you just feel like I'm in an atmosphere.
Yeah.
I'm in pub atmosphere, like.
But, like, you know what you're saying there about the music, and, like, that the music is, you know, here, but the music isn't the feature. It's kind of the accompaniment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's trying to augment your chat. You know, it's like, you know, just kind of like,
fills the gaps.
It's nearly your theme music of the night rather than actually listen to it.
Putting fucking Ghetto Amaretto out of business. Shout out to the lads, fucking
team tune.
Absolutely, the team tune, and not only that, but if their EP from last year, All Correct, is flying it. Like, we've added on a couple of our Spotify playlists, a couple of their tunes. It's gone down really well with people. And if you haven't listened, look up Ghetto Amaretto on Spotify or whatever you say to listen to your music legally, and then just fucking subscribe to the lads and give it a listen, because fairness, top notch stuff, like.
Love
what they do.
I actually love the name of that All Correct thing, where it's like
I read up on this. They have a little spiel on it on their Spotify account. It's brilliant.
So it's well, I think it's spelled OLLKORRECT. And it's like a play on it's where they think that OK comes from,
the original phrase, they assume.
So I think it's a Bostonian.
It was like old English fused with like Dutch, I'd say. Imagine if it's in that part of the world era.
And I think it's kind of like a slang, slang terminology at the time. You know, all
but if you've ever heard like Flemish or Dutch being spoken, you'd nearly come to you that I can understand how that came about to the fusion of the two languages. And the album is more than okay. It's very good. Very good. And even the songs, like the songs all are basically themed around one of the songs, basically the background drop to it is like pollution and stuff like that. Like, they all have a specific purpose, the songs, which is really good. And it's kind of like almost
it's like a thematic kind of
album, and it's like an electro indie play on modern society. Do you know what? I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Also, just before we get into the bones and the business of this episode, I just want to announce that we've successfully launched our Patreon page today, the day that we're recording this, not the day that we launch the episode. So if you go to www.patreon.com/Snugcast, you can actually donate to the Snugcast. And what that donation will do is it'll improve our equipment, our recording equipment, and it'll actually improve our editing equipment, so that we can improve the audio output that we currently have, possibly even in the future increase the frequency, but also that we can really drive on with our video output. We're very passionate about the project that we're trying to undertake, to basically go delve into the history and the backstories behind the pubs that we frequent, and also the great pubs that are mapped out around Ireland and beyond. And in order to do that, it's going to take an awful lot of time and effort on our behalf, and it's going to take equipment, software and stuff like that. So if you can go to the Patreon, listen, we're not looking for people to give us thousands, but if you have it and you want to do, but like couple of pound a month if you have it to spare, great. If you don't, we fully understand. But just if you're in a position to support Snugcast,
you
like
to
what we do,
have a pint with us, fucking send it our way.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll shout you out.
We'll give you a shout out 100%. So that's set up. That's there. You can donate now if you want. Just go to that page, patreon.com/Snugcast, and there's a donate option right there and right then. It's really easy to do. In fact, today I donated to the Irish History Podcast. For the first time, I've used Patreon to actually donate to something. So I used it today to donate to the Irish History Podcast, because I've really gotten into that last few weeks, and it's really good. So I feel like supporting a fellow podcast is something that I'd be really into. So, yeah.
And also, I think it's good model. Like, you know, saying you're not like all the stuff is going out free of charge anyway. Like, you know,
and you're only getting money if you justify it. So if you like what we do, you feel like you have a couple of pound a month to throw us. Yeah. Throw it.
And if you have the cash, give it. If you don't have the cash, listen away anyway.
We don't mind.
We don't mind.
We're not going to tell you to go along, get along,
move along,
shift. But yeah, thanks a million for listening to that little intro. Now, let's get into the fucking meat of what we do.
10 minutes in, this must be the longest time we've ever spent without asking.
We actually have stuff to talk about this week that's not actual shite. Like. 10 minutes in. Right, here we go, lads. The key crux of the question, because to be honest with you, who knows what we were talking about the last time we were in here, what we were drinking. But Owen Thomas Tadd.
Yeah, James Thomas Tadd. Jimmy.
Sorry, I take
Jimmy,
that
Timmy.
Where did this Thomas go?
Two grandfathers.
Yeah. No, I know that, but I'm wondering why you went straight to Thomas there. Anyway, that's beside the point. We won't get into an anchor. What are you drinking tonight?
See, Thomas was...
Was Thomas Tabb or the other side?
It was Thomas Tabb, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Tom Tabb,
yeah. Jimmy Power.
A man who frequented Tom Maher's frequently.
Oh, my God, did he. So...
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm on the Whole Garden, so... Fans of the show might think that we're fucking, what's it called, fucking craft beer snobs, right? And this is quite a big macro beer, I would say. Now, like, I'd say it started off kind of, well, I don't know, where it's Belgian, isn't it?
Yeah, the first place I ever had it was in the Beer House in Cork, which is a craft beer pub, which actually is a really good craft beer pub. And quick segment sideways, they tapped this week Declan from Yellow Belly Beer, the head brewer there, so he brews himself as well, and his snapback stays on, so they're tapping that at the moment. Really good pub if you're in Cork Beer House, look it up.
Oh yes, quality. But anyway, like, I'd say Whole Garden's probably like the Budweiser of Belgium. Like, you know, I'd say in Belgium it's kind of, you know,
the chaps at the Vell might have something to say about that, but
no, but
it's very common. Yeah,
it's a big, if you're a US citizen and Budweiser is there, like, you know, the Guinness of beer for Belgium or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But like, Jesus, I love it. It's a nice, like, light wheat beer, unfiltered, but probably about the 4.85% mark. I have a few. Well, I initially had a slice of lemon thrown in, and then I got a second pint with a few slices of orange thrown in, and then I threw me original pint of lemon from the first pint in on top of that.
So it's like a rock shandy Hogarth.
Exactly. I love it. But
club,
yeah,
if you want to sponsor us.
But I'm actually kind of getting, after getting into kind of unfiltered beers there. I don't know if it's the old kind of Carlsberg advertising or whatever, like that kind of
subliminal messaging.
Subliminal messaging. Yeah. But I had that metal man Zwickel there. There Saturday night. Jeez, that was some tasty stuff. That was a local Waterford brewery, and they do this unfiltered lager. But like, yeah, Jesus, that was delicious. You said you had it before.
I had a can of it, and I don't know if it was at the time I had it or was the can sitting there a while or something. Do you know what it was though? I'd probably be being a bit unfair to Metal Man in that the term was, I actually had it after a fairly intense gym session. So I'd say my body just wasn't in the form for an unfiltered beer, but yeah, you enjoyed it. And similar to the whole guy.
In defence as well, right? So mine had been sitting there since Christmas. I bought them there just before Christmas.
Was it the Arkane stores at the 4 for 10?
Yeah, exactly. Bought it there.
Great off license.
Yeah, four cans for tenner. So I bought them, and then so I didn't drink it over Christmas, and I left it in my parents' fridge. And I'd say my father has dropped, so it's like this fridge with a kind of a dodgy shelf in it.
Yeah.
My father has dropped it, I'd say a good 18 times on the floor. It was as dented now as one of the...
A poor hole. Sorry, lads.
We'll take that.
It had to be said. So you thought that gave it a bit of life?
I probably added a bit to it, like, you know.
Excellent, yeah. Look, sorry, like, Hogarden, like the unfiltered stuff. I don't know, maybe it's just not my... I haven't acquired a taste for it yet, or maybe... Like, I'm really... In the midst of spring now, I am all about the fruity pale ales. I am big into them at the moment. In fact, like... hopefully, I'll have edited and brought it out by now. Our first YouTube video in Arkane Stores, Snug Has Taste, which you came up with the name of, and I think it's fucking brilliant. So Arkane Stores have welcomed us into the off-license there, and we're doing a beer and spirit of the month with them, and they're picking something, kind of, I suppose, they're picking something then that you mightn't think of themselves. So we went into Arkane Stores last week, and speaking of which, Julie's just replied to her story, good woman herself. Julie from Arkane has been really good to us, by the way. I just want to give her a little shout out here. She's a fantastic woman there in the off-license in Arkane Stores, and gave us great guidance when we were setting up the video and stuff like that. And I'm really looking forward to working with her in the future and developing further in that relationship. But we were there in Arkane Stores, and our beer of the month was the Blaxican Sale Kinsale Pale Ale for the first video. And we came into Jeff's here, and I was looking at the tabs, and I was about to order something else, and I spotted the bottle in the fridge there, and I said, fruity pale ale is, I'm just in that zone. I'm loving a fruity pale ale at the moment.
Once you go black, you never go back, like.
That's what they say anyway. Listeners to this podcast will know my absolute affection for that particular brewery, because I think I haven't had a bad beer from them yet. Kinsale Pale Ale, this one's called. The Blacks Brewery is located in Kinsale. It's 5% American style pale ale. They use a lot of Cascade and Citra hops in this, so a lot of the tropical and Citra flavours come through, and you get that, like, you're literally front loaded with some lovely, lovely fruity flavours. It's not overpowering, but they just, it's like an explosion of taste on your taste buds. Absolutely love it, but it's such a clean finish that, like, it doesn't linger, not like the cranberries, and the band, not the fruit. That was terrible. But do you know what the beauty about it is what balances it out and what makes nothing linger is there's a lovely bit of malt sweetness in the finish, and that really rings true. And it's 5%, it's really sessionable, and I'm drinking it from the bottle, so, like, you know, when you think about there, the bottle is 500ml, it's just like it's not a full pint, 5%. So I'm on my second bottle now, and I'm about halfway through it, and I'm feeling absolutely lovely about it. So listen, that's what we're drinking tonight. Big shout out to Hogarden of Belgium and the Blacks Can Say, lads, I fucking love you.
Love it.
The ball. So let's move on to our first topic of the night on. Oh. Right, lads and lassies, we're back.
Hold on a second,
he's not ready. We're back in the room. So we've had a little wee break, we've got another round in, and...
Don't be telling us what we did.
I had a wee report, and then we got a round in. Oh, and definitely didn't we.
Okay.
Weirdo. So, basically, so we're recording this week on a Tuesday because Owen, you're off to Italy for a wedding.
Mamma mia.
And on Thursday, so usually recording on Thursday night. So we were, and just like it's unfamiliar for us to record on Tuesday, it's also unfamiliar for us to go for lunch together on Tuesday. And today we actually went to the River Cottage bar and restaurant for lunch, which is another lovely bar. Not one that we'd record a Snowcast in usually because it's out of town, even though it's actually very close to my house.
Yeah.
But a lovely bar, and if you are in Waterford, it's really good for food and a drink. They have a cool brass bar as well. But we were in there today on a Tuesday, unusually, for lunch, and we're kind of basically having a chat. What are we going to talk about in tonight's podcast? A team meeting, if you will, from Snowcast HQ. And we decided we were going to talk about the 1990s because we broke up in the 1990s, and it was kind of just a little bit of chat between us. And no sooner had we decided that than we went on to Instagram, Twitter and the like, and Beat FM, the number one radio station in the Southeast, had actually put up a picture of some treats of the 90s, and we're getting a bit nostalgic. And it was funny, I tweeted them and said, Jesus, we just decided to talk about that in our podcast tonight. And in fairness to the boys, they liked our tweet, follow us back, shout out to Beat FM. And it's gas, like, they have a pile of stuff.
I'm just going to cut in on you there. I got in a bit of trouble when I was 17.
Not new to you.
17, yeah. So we had a school musical that we used to do every year in our school. And I was MC of the transition year. So it was the transition years did the show. And when I was in fifth year, I was the MC for them.
Because you were the senior figure. Obviously. This doesn't surprise anyone that listens.
No. So anyway, I was kind of giving, like, you know, the fucking safety announcements, like, you know, fire doors, shit, like, you know, welcome tonight, you know, ladies and gentlemen, all that shit, right? But I also...
Gladiator! Ready!
But then I think, I can't remember if it was at the start of the show or at the interval, but I gave, you say out the sponsors in the night, like, right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so Beat, right, used to be called Beat FM, as you said there, right?
Yeah.
And I got in a bit of trouble because I said that on the night, right? But that year, they had changed.
Beat 102, 103.
So that's the actual...
This is Beat.
That's the actual title of the station.
So, Beat 102, 103, this is Beat, put up on Instagram and the various social media feeds, basically a couple of treats from the 1990s. So we decided, how are we going to go through these and talk about them and bring it to the listeners? So what we're going to do is we're going to rate these treats.
The ones they have on this image.
So how many dods are they out of 5 dods? So for example, if it is top notch, we're going to give it 5 dods out of 5. If it's absolute rubbish, we're going to give it 1 dod out of 5. This is, of course, in respect to Dodd, our good friend who's out in San Francisco at the moment, can't be with us.
So how many Daras out of Donahoes?
Dodds out of Dodds will do fine.
Okay, grand, yeah.
Keep it simple. And then also we'll give a few honorable mentions for anything that we think of in the meantime or we see in the comments, because actually they're not a bad crowd to follow on social media. They do some good stuff as well. And actually they helped out they did something really nice actually there. They did the Feel Good Friday thing, and before Christmas there, two good friends of mine actually renewed their wedding vows on Beat's thanks to Beat on their Feel Good Friday. Chris Fatner and Evelyn Whelan, shout out to Chris and Evelyn.
Yeah, good stuff. Anyway,
so
right, what's on here?
What's the first one? This is almost like the first recording we did that we released as a special, where you called out the Joe.ie songs and
So should I just rattle through them all and then we'll...
No, we'll go through each one and then we'll rate them.
Right,
we'll
vote Candy Sticks, they're the oaks that use Pretender
Fags. Yeah, Pretender Fags, yeah. That used to happen in Cork as well as Waterford.
Yeah.
Candy Sticks, I can give Candy Sticks a solid 3 dods out of 5.
I'd probably give them a 3 out of 5 as well, but like only for the coolness factor.
Yeah,
taste-wise,
they're a solid one.
They're pure chalk.
Pure muck. But how cool are you pretending you were smoking a fag?
Yeah,
don't
see,
smoke,
like,
kids.
Yeah,
don't smoke, kids.
Yeah, we're playing up the nostalgia factor, aren't we? Like,
yeah, but that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that is what it's all about. Okay,
so I'm giving them 3 out of 5.
Okay,
anyway.
3 out of 5.
You can give them what you want, though.
No.
Do you want to downgrade into a 2 for you?
No, because I have to take every consideration into account. Like,
this episode's gonna be 3 hours long.
Now, Cadbury Dream Bar.
Ah, do you know what? When they came out first, I didn't mind them. But when you call a spade, like, they're no Milky Bar. Absolutely not. Far too much white chocolate. It's far too sweet. I'm giving them a 1 dot out of dot.
Well, I'm coming in with a 5. A 5?
What?
5 dots out of 5. I fucking love those.
I'm
not
listening. Fair play to you if you do. I've no issue with that.
I used to gobble that shit up, like, right? I used to be a tank for the old white chocolate. Like.
That explains why you got Beat's name wrong in the oak. You were too wired on sugar from white chocolate.
Damn right I was. Right.
Right, so we completely disagree on the Dream Bar.
Okay, next up, Stinger Bar.
Okay, so Stingers are still available.
Yeah.
And they're one of Nia's favourites. Mm. I'm going to give a Stinger a 4 dods out of 5 dods.
Okay, so it's not on the list, right? But I'm going to say, what do you ride her over saying, right?
Huh?
An old Rye Bar, what would you compare that now with?
Ride her over?
Yeah.
Ride her over is 5 dods out of 5.
Yeah, exactly.
100% like. Possibly 6 dod thrown in there, because Ryder Over is the staple. And it's like, when you look at it, like a pineapple fucking candy bar, you're like, it shouldn't be nice, but it's so good. And a little crystallized bits as well. Ah, Ryder Over is 5 dods out of 5.
Yeah, I think we give a Stinger then 4.5 out of 5 or something, because it's second place to Roy, like, you know what I mean?
Okay. I'll give it a 4, yeah, because I have another one that I know is coming up, and I'm like,
right, Jawbreaker. Actually, sorry, Ryder Over is on the list.
Fucking hell,
I missed it.
No, you're grand. Jawbreaker. I, do you know what? Jawbreakers were a novelty when it came out first, and it was like, do you know the movie, what's the movie? Tell me. The one where they go and find the secret garden. Oh, I can't remember it.
The secret garden.
Something, probably. They had the like Everlasting Gobstopper in that. No, it was Willy Wonka had the Everlasting Gobstopper. Jawbreakers came out in 2 different iterations, didn't they? There was the Everlasting Gobstopper and the Jawbreaker. Mm. And like, when it came out first, it was a novelty, amazing thing. Mm. But I'm convinced that half of my dental issues are because of them. I'm going to give them 2 dods out of 5 dods.
Yeah, 1. I wasn't a fan. Like,
I'll give them a second one because they were so novelty when they came out, for the nostalgia factor. Like, I fully appreciate from a taste and a quality and all that point of view, they're probably 1.
I used to get like
my teeth are sore thinking about them.
Yeah, I used to get very excited like about the idea of them, but like the actual experience just was shite. Like,
and also you got sick of them and your jaw hurt.
Yeah.
Like,
a 1-0 for me.
In fairness, so I give them 2 because they literally broke your jaw. Like,
right. Next up is a Fat Frog. This is an ice cream, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, not ice cream, but ice.
Ice roll. Yeah. I'm between a 3.5 and a 4. I was a fan of the Fat Frog. Yeah, now she was a good
gonna,
one.
I was going to give her a 4.
She's a good one, yeah. Yeah, no, we'll go 4. 4 dods out of 5 dods for the Fat Frog.
Next up, Burger Bites.
Burger Bites are a solid 4.
I was more of a staple crisp man, right?
Whereas like,
I was more of a cheese and onion, potato, like that kind of stuff, like, you know, down to earth, like.
I respect that.
But like what, fucking wheelies, burger bites, meanies.
Don't
like,
you dare talk shit about my meanies.
No, but like, look, I just wasn't into them. I just wasn't into them. Like,
no, that's fair enough.
The old pickled onion never just tickled me fancy. You know what I mean?
Aaron Man to himself. I'll give him a 4.
Right, speaking of which, Banshee Bones.
So Banshee Bones were a bit too vinegary for me. I'll give him a 3, although I didn't mind them when you got them in the Halloween.
Look, I would have ate them, but two
will do for you, yeah. I'm more generous than you on this.
Freddo.
Sure, the Freddo is a staple of any man's diet.
Yeah.
Like, you can't knock it. There's not a bad word to be said about Alfredo. 4.5, because it's not quite like, it doesn't have the surprise element of Danbar or Ryder Rovers. Danbar, oh my god. Danbar's a fucking 6 odds out of 5.
Right.
Is he on the list?
No, not on the list.
Danbar 6 odds out of 5.
I probably would have given Alfredo 3. Middle of the road.
Think right? He's a bit too plain.
Yeah,
but
he was good on that. Do you know if you had a couple of cent left over?
Or throw in the Freddo.
Hey, throw in the Freddo there.
Throw Freddo in, yeah. Because actually, this is how we got talking about this. So what we originally wanted to do was say, it's 1997, you've won Irish punt. What are you coming out of the shop with?
Yeah.
Sure, whatever you do, you're going to end up with fucking sixpence left and buy a Freddo.
Yeah.
So that's exactly where you're coming from. No, I'll revert to a 3. I'll go along with you.
Actually, what I was going to answer to that question when you initially asked me that earlier on there today, right? A few golf balls.
Oh, yeah, no. Remember they have to be thrown in, yeah. They have to be thrown in.
You have to throw a few of them in.
What ruined them was when they put them in the packs.
Oh, jeez. Sure, they're not a pack sweet. No.
But what I will say, a caramel Freddo is a 4.
Oh, stop. They were called something else. They were Taz.
Taz Mania.
We may talk about 90s.
We're moving on to that later.
Right.
Don't be giving it away.
A bottle of cadet.
Do you ever know, like, do you know what I think is hilarious? Talk about nutrition in sport now, even at underage, like, and you go to an under 10 match, and I'm going to the sideline, you'd have segments of orange and a bottle of red lemonade cadet there ready for you.
Yeah.
And you're going out fucking getting stomach cramps in the second half. And you wonder what, blaming the orange.
So, when I was in, say, about first to third year, I'd say, of secondary school, there was a place down the road from us, the Canton Chinese, right?
It's still open, isn't it?
Still open, yeah, right? Yeah. So the Canton, like Johnny Canton down there, right?
Johnny.
Definitely not his name, but anyway.
Dickie Joe's brother.
But anyway, so you get like a meal deal there. You get the fucking 4-in-1 or 3-in-1 or whatever, right? Like number 6 on the menu, okay?
Yeah.
So you just go in and get that at lunch hour. It used to be like, I don't know, £4 or whatever. So then you get that, you get a bottle of gold. Remember gold?
Oh my God. Or Spring as well.
This lab was better than gold. Actually, funny story about the Canton. So I think in third year, third year would have meant about 2004, 2005, yeah. Mm. So one day we were going down and that's a lie because I didn't see it. This is literally one of those things where it just spread like wildfire, right? But one of the lads said that he saw a pigeon flying from the kitchen, hitting the front window and dying. So after that, everyone said that the Canton sold pigeon. So nobody went to the Canton.
The rumour like that in our school was that there'd be a snowball fight one day. And the rumour is one of the boys got hit by a snowball that had a rock in the middle of it and lost his eye. But actually all that happened was he had appendicitis.
Oh, that's quality.
But the cadet, I'll give the cadet 3 dads out of 5. You can't, I don't think you can go higher.
I'm not going higher. 2 would say, 2.
Yeah, but nostalgia factor is playing a big role. Cadet won us the under 12 fucking city championship.
Bunch
of fucking Fanta Phil fuckers, as Tommy Tiernan say.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not worth this airtime.
So up next, Ryder over
5. Yeah, we've said that. Box off, move on.
Now, next one, right? A fruit winder.
Okay, so fruit winders, I dispute that they're 90s. We'll have to look it up, but I don't think they came out in Ireland until 2001, 2002. And I think they're shit.
I don't think
they're even worth a 1.
I was
going
to give them a 0.
Yeah,
honestly, God.
Fucking shite.
My mother
started giving them to us for lunch because she thought they were like fruit.
Fruit.
Fucking eat it. Love you, man.
Right. Next up, I have a note from what this is. A Cadbury's Applejack.
Oh my God, so right. The Cadbury's Applejack is different than, do you remember the Apple and, was it Apple and Blackcurrant or the bar that was like in the same mold as a Stinger and a Wham bar and a Dam bar and that. Do you remember that Apple and was it Apple and Blackcurrant or something like that? My God, that yolk was a $5 out of five. The Cadbury Applejack was like apple jelly coated in chocolate. This now was
this is
94, 95 ish. Like, I'm going back into our early enough childhood.
Yeah, and into the moon early, are
you? Yeah, but like my granddad Harry, God rest his soul, love the man, have his fucking date of birth tattooed in my arm, legend. He used to buy like a bag of sweets every Friday for the grandkids when he come home from work. And he'd come in like there'd be just a big mix of everything. And I remember getting the Applejack the odd time. And it was funny because apple jelly is sweet and chocolate, milk chocolate is sweet. So it was a bit overly sweet, like, when you're a child, you don't mind that. So I'll give the Applejack. All right, she would get a 3 if I was rationally judging it, but I'll give it a 4 for the Grand Harry factor.
Nah, give it to him. I can't judge, I can't remember.
You never had one, no?
Never, I don't think so. But you know what I had, right?
Liam Tabb wasn't a fan of fruit, though.
No, he didn't like the fruit. Anyway, do you remember the apple pies in McDonald's?
They're still going. Neve had one the other night there. Jeez. I'm not a fan of them.
Jeez, I used to love them back in the day. Liam Tabb used to love them as well. Like, actually, I think I mainly got the love from Liam Tabb. Anyway, next on the list is a Calypso bar.
Oh yeah, they're still going.
Where are they now?
Calypso is a hard toffee caramel.
Oh, I know.
Coated in chocolate. Them with a mug of tea is a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Without the mug of tea, they're only a 3 because they're too chai. You need the tea to melt them a bit.
Right. A Juan bar.
5 out of 5. No betting it.
Yeah. Don't know.
She's up there. Wham, Dan, thank you, Roy.
Yeah. We used to have We used to have like kind of study halls.
There's about 4 different whammers now.
Oh yeah.
Go on, you study hall. Sorry.
We used to kind of like have kind of study after school in secondary school, like, you know. And we used to have I'd say the old fucking tuck shops are gone nowadays, are they?
I don't know, I'm not in school anymore.
But like, do you know, just some of the old healthy thing, like, you know, like.
Maybe, but like. Maybe they've just evolved into semi-healthy. Like,
we used to have like the old.
We used to have Jerry's shop.
We used to have the old brothers in school. Like, you know, the brothers in school were grass though, because like they fucking like they wouldn't give you change. They go like, you know.
That's for the missions.
And a strawberry. They throw you like, you know, they'd be like, you know, like if you'd 5 cent change, like, they go and a strawberry, and they'd give you a strawberry jelly as well, like. Absolutely fucking quality.
Chancers.
Next up is a packet of discos.
So, discos weren't as good as, was it Frazzles or Frizzles?
Frisps.
So discos were the poor man Frisps. I'll give discos a 2 dads out of 5. You're in the house, you'd eat them away, like, no bother.
Do you know what they might be? I think they might be good as a pub snack.
They probably will be, yeah. No, the salt and vinegar ones would be ideal.
They kind of have that kind of, like, they're kind of lightly, yeah. You know, they're...
But they're no Frisp, though, are they?
They're no Frisp, like, yeah. But, like, I'm saying, right, are Frisps too tasty for a pint?
No. God, no.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know
they're not tyrings, like.
Yeah, I suppose.
No,
I think
any of those chape crisps are ideal for a pint.
Yeah.
And I think Frisp is just the fucking upper echelon of the chape.
Right. Next up is a macaroon.
Oh, big fan of the macaroon.
Yeah.
Chocolate, a bit of coconut in it. My mother loves them, so that's probably where I get my love of them from. Macaroon is somewhere between 3.5 and a 4 for me. 3.75.
Aren't they?
No, they're only like fucking 8 pence.
I know, but like, no.
No, do you know what it was? The local rural shop near us had them, so they probably weren't posh to us. But.
Yeah, no, but like... I'm not saying that, like, price.
Also, I always presumed it came from Macroom in Cork. I just thought that's what they were. Like, I didn't even call them macaroons when I was younger. I just got, play Macroom bar, please, in the Calypso.
Ah, quality. Actually, when I was younger, there was a place over in Slieve Ruins, in Kenny, called, it's a B&B, right, called Diamond Hill. And when I was younger, I thought Neil Diamond lived there.
Do I have any other shite like that? No. Not that I can think about that, man. That's a good one, though. Diamond Hill, Neil Diamond lived there.
Yeah. I'm convinced.
Because was it Sweet Caroline or something like that he'd out with the time? Speaking of when we were young chaps.
Anyway, right, last but definitely not least, right, a dip dab.
Ooh. Because there was the lemon sherbets as well that were very close to them. Mm. And they were very powdery, but dip dab had a lollipop.
Mm.
Right. Because the lemon sherbet had the licorice stick, wasn't it?
Mm.
Dip dab, what like of a dip dab? I'd probably go a 3.
I think I'm going to give the dip dab a 5, right?
A fiver?
But, right? Wow. But, this is simply out of originality, right? Like, who the fuck does that like? A packet of powder, right?
Sure, how the fuck do you think cocaine came out with it?
Exactly. Exactly, right? These are boys.
Do you think the dip dab came from Johnny Bassett watching Scarface?
Yep, Scarface or fucking one of the boys in Colombia, like, you know?
Ain't nothing Bolivia, the accent. That was quality.
That was quality, right?
So, basically, how we got here was we murdered one punt a day with the. Actually, for a punt, you probably get one of each of them.
Yeah,
back
yeah.
in 97, 96, 97. And shout out to Beat 102, 103. This is Beat for throwing it up, like, completely coincidentally around the same time. That was quality.
Right, hold on, I have a question, right?
Go on.
Right, you have one other off that list. What do you go for?
Dan Barr. I said it already.
Okay.
Dan Barr is a man, like, I fucking love Dan Barr. They should bring it back. Or the Apple and Blackcurrant chap. But also, shout out for the hard sweets at the time as well. Rhubarb custard, apple drops, clovers. In Shannon Street in Cork, they had a hard boiled sweet shop. And what you used to be able to get for 50 pence was a bag of the broken bits of the hard sweets.
Broken bits.
Brilliant.
Oh
my God. Do you know the little mint ones with the chocolate in the middle and the orange? Yeah, so you just get little bits of chocolate stuck on and then a clover stuck onto that. Oh my God.
Right, so for me, right, I'm going to answer, and I'm still going to answer, right, a flump.
Ooh.
Remember those bad boys?
Yeah.
Simply because you remember you used to open by breaking them off people's heads. So for those of you who don't know, it's like two or three strands of marshmallow, long marshmallow strands that are kind of braided together, right?
Yeah.
And they were like sealed in kind of like a flimsy plastic packaging, right? So kind of a long braid, right? And in a plastic packaging, and to open them, you break them off some lad's head inside the school, and like they just burst open, and you used to have a kind of great sound, a little pop off it, like, it was brilliant, right? But I was also thinking, right, when you were kind of talking about all that kind of nostalgia thing, right? So my granny, right, she used to give me this like fantastic, kind of minty, sweet, and like I used if we're ever on a road trip, I used to eat about 2 or 3 of them, right? You'll never guess what they are.
Minty sweet. Is it the, it's not a humbug, no?
No.
No, do you know the emerald, the chocolate toffee? Is it their mint one?
No.
Minty sweet. Milky Moo.
No.
Milky Moo is a show, though.
Milky Moo is a show. Go on,
tell me.
Rennie. Oh, he's the horse into her Rennie. She was having fucking. She was having a little sick stomach, and I'd be tucking into the old Rennie.
Fuck me, lads. I think it's time for a word from our sponsors.
Hi. Do you want to look like you live in Essex, but live in Mullingar? Why not try Leo Varadkar's Fake Tan?
West Tan by Leo Varadkar. For the Essex and all of us.
Sponsors of the Snowcast.
Right, guys, we're back in the room, and thanks to West Tan Fake Tans for that lovely sponsorship of this week's episode. Look, we're going to continue on the theme of 90s, and actually this episode, I have a feeling it's going to go on longer than usual episodes, because we just said there when we finished last segment that we're actually really enjoying talking about, the 90s. So we're going to continue on the theme of the 90s for this week's episode. And we're going to start off with music. This week with music, we're talking about 90s tunes and just the era of the 90s, the era of the 90s for music, which is actually fantastic because basically what we're judging this on is obviously the Snowcast comes out on Spotify. We love people listening to the Snowcast on Spotify, and they have a great playlist for all the decades.
Couple of playlists, per decade, personally
I would often, when I'm cutting the grass, listen to I Love My 90s Hip Hop. I Love My 80s Hip Hop, because so we know we're big fans of Grandmaster Flash and stuff like that. But we go on to 90s tunes, and my Easy 90s is a lovely playlist to listen to. And people who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and not so much Instagram, maybe Instagram, yeah, I put up in stories sometimes, would know that every week we do a Snowcast playlist, and it'll have a different kind of common running theme, or sometimes just songs that I'm feeling like that week. And basically the Easy 90s playlist has some absolute belters on it. I had it on actually and walked there a couple of weeks ago, and I was listening to it and thinking, God, the 90s is fucking brilliant for music. And do you know what, there are some like absolute monumental musicians making big changes in society modern day. However, I feel like from a purely musical point of view, the 90s, the 80s, 90s were a bit purer. And even into the noughties, we have the beautiful sound and stuff like that. But in the Easy 90s, so just a couple of songs from the 90s that have been featured on Snowcast playlist on are running by you.
Go on.
See how you feel about them. Brimful of Asha.
Oh, God. I just
get going when it's on. There She Goes by The Lads.
Oh yeah,
I like The Lads. Like, people know my affection for Liverpool as a city. The Lads are a great Liverpool band.
Yeah,
that song There She Goes, like when you actually listen to the lyrics of it, it's so much more than just a pop tune or a, like, popular culture tune. But going through a few Easy 90s playlists there, one, pick out a few 90s songs there that are catching your eye.
Oh, Mysterious Girl, Peter Andre.
You love a bit of fucking Peter Andre. You just like a man in no
Song to Blur. Now that's a fucking great tune, right?
So this is the beauty of Blur. In my head, I'm like, you're too fucking lazy to name your song.
Yeah.
But you really enjoy it. Brilliant.
Yeah, fucking great.
There's a lot of bits from the Manic Street Preachers in there that, was it the, actually no, was it 2015 or 2016 they played Electric Picnic? I'd say it could be 2015. We went to 2016 together. They played Electric Picnic 2015.
I'm after dropping a bit of my beer on my phone there. So
hold on a second, we see if
I'm actually playing. I'm playing Shiny Happy People there by R.E.M.
Listen, good album that.
Yeah.
But like, so now that's what I call music. I remember getting the tape of the one for, I was in 95. It must have been Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue something.
Fucking
TLC Scrub.
No Scrubs.
No Scrubs, whatever the fuck was called. Waterfalls.
Fucking great.
Dancer's Paradise, Coolio, LL Cool J.
So I was reading an old thing there during the week, right? And it said that I'm not sure if it said that you don't mature or that you like select, but like at the age of 14, that is when.
Yes, I heard this.
That you don't musically mature, or you, like, that is where
beyond
you
that
select.
Age, yeah.
Yeah, like that's where you select, right? And like, I probably like disagree somewhere, because I'd say that like it was probably around my 15, 16, 17 year mark that I actually like started really, really getting into music. Like before that, I was like soccer, like kid, right? So
yeah.
Like didn't really have much focus on music, like you know, I'd say I kind of liked a few of the like, old pop tunes and stuff,
yeah.
Right? But after that, like went to like I think right, I went to a few concerts, right? And after the concerts I went to, I was like, I love these bands.
You're not going to concerts at 14.
No, you're not. Like you know, no, because they're like you have like you're going on your own with your friends, and like A, you can't go into the fucking things on your own, and B, you've no friends.
Speak for yourself. Yeah, no, I completely agree, because I know that this thing came out about maturing in music 14, and I think about the music I was listening to when I was 14.
Yeah.
When I was 14, so we were both 14. We both turned 14 in 2004. So 2004, I was probably listening to, was early Kanye West out at that stage even? Probably not.
Not as big as,
Well, no, I went to see him in 2006, so I'd say maybe his first album will come out.
Graduation came out 2005, yeah. I should say, didn't it?
Yeah, so his first, what was his first album called again? High school, or College Dropout. Mm. I'd say I listened to that. Yeah, I was probably getting into that. Eminem. So it was really randomly, when I was 14, I was probably listening to Eminem, Papa Roach, Metallica, and Limp Bizkit.
College Dropout, 2004.
Yeah. Hello. I was just about into it. But also, I had like the whole range of Eminem to fucking Metallica to Limp Bizkit, Nirvana. Like, I was into all these when I was 14.
I was into Limp Bizkit as well because I was watching wrestling at the time. And like, The Undertaker was, he was the American Badass? American Badass at the time.
Yeah.
And he had like, you know.
Who wasn't into wrestling back then? Like, when it was
exactly,
good.
Exactly. Fucking. This PG area now. Like,
do you remember, like, the best thing ever? Remember SummerSlam? Could have been 2003. The Rock, Triple H, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Triple Threat match. Anyway, we digress because that's not 90s. But as you say, like, that's 2004 is us basically at 14. Whereas most of my musical influence from that lasted with me throughout it was actually from the 90s.
I'd actually say at the age of 14, 15, 16, whatever, right, I would have discounted a lot of the 90s tunes then, right? And you'd be like, that's a bit too poppy, or that's a bit too whatever, right? Or, like, you know, that's, like, I don't know, it's probably, like, more kind of niche at that age, right? Whereas now, I look back with kind of, like, a broader spectrum, and I'm like, Jesus, great tunes then, but, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
case
like
in point, Bruce Springsteen, right? Mm. My favourite Bruce Springsteen songs from the 90s, so all the massive hits, like Born in the USA, Dancing in the Dark, stuff from the 70s, 80s. Mm. My favourite song, Streets of Philadelphia, is from 92, 93. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just that era of, like lyrics and music mixing. I think there's some absolute belters from the 90s. So,
but do you think that is that a keen eye of, like, looking back with, you know, you were exposed then?
I don't think so, because, like, all of a sudden when I hear, like, early noughties tunes like Beautiful South and stuff, I get really into it all of a sudden. I'm obsessed. What the fuck was that? Anyway,
that's actually a line from a Tab and Neb song, which is actually noughties.
Eiffel Fum Nahon, obviously, Young Two and Brock.
Yeah.
That's far before the. That could be a 1590s. Listen, like, I think the 90s were a great time for songs, for music and stuff like that. There's some songs now that, like, brought out in the 90s that if you heard in a nightclub any weekend, you'd be bouncing to them.
Yeah.
A lot more than you would be. I would be to Drake or any of the modern
any
lads.
Of those modern fellas.
Justin Bieber or Britney Spears.
Iron Man, it was murdered there recently.
Oh, fucking hell.
That's the same Nipsey something.
Yeah. I never heard that chap, but, like, never heard again, it's an unfortunate coincidence, and again, a sign of gun violence in the States. But anyway, we digress. Talking about 90s tonight. Owen, something that came in from Tommy Kyrie.
What's your favourite 90s game show?
So this is an amazing question.
I think that is amazing, yeah.
Amazing. So, like, there are the game shows that have lasted the test of time, strictly to Ireland. Winning Streak.
Yeah.
Was it better in the 90s, do you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I
think, like, a lot of those, like you're not adding much with these added graphics or, like, this added shite.
And what I'm not sure about is,
like, you're actually taking away from the game itself, like,
yeah,
with all this shite, like, of, like, scanning around Ireland, all this was, shit, like.
Was Bully 80s or 90s?
Bullseye.
Yeah.
The Dark Skin.
Bully is the character in it, yeah, Bullseye.
Bullseye.
I'd say it was 80s into early 90s, was it?
Oh, definitely. It definitely reached into the 90s.
That
yeah.
was seriously underrated at the time.
Quality, like, right?
Unreal. Strike It Rich.
What was Strike It Rich?
Strike It Rich. The one with Michael Barrymore, no.
Oh!
This is a trip down memory lane. What was the one with Bruce Forsyth? Bruce's Price is Right. Oh,
Price is Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Lad. They don't do them like they used to.
Crystal Maze.
Oh, like, I must say it's Crystal Maze. I actually, on this podcast, I've, like, hummed Crystal Maze team tunes several times. They brought it to Crystal Haze, Yellow Belly brought it to Crystal Haze as well. And I got so excited just like, because I was going around during the day, like,
what was
singing
the name of the presenter lad?
There was two of them. There was a crack ball, lad, and then the crack ball lad.
Yeah.
I have no idea what their names are.
But anyway, like, he used to also fucking add to it. Actually, there was a lot of kind of like children's kind of like game shows as well at the time. It was like a children's kind of like Crystal Maze as well.
Yeah.
Where it used to like bring, like, you know, like kids that have to do all this shit as well. Like, but like,
do you remember, like, Gladiator was 90s?
That, so Ski answered the question with Gladiator.
Great shout. But I am going to come absolutely left the field at all or something. I know I can't remember it. Come back to me.
Okay.
You, I have it. It definitely originated in the 90s. I'm not going to have it at a Saturday in the noughties. Takeshi's Castle.
Ah, stop. That was mine. That was my
go away. Takeshi. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, like, Takeshi's Castle is like just the ultimate 5 o'clock television after school.
So, like, is that still being aired? Because, like, that lasted until 2012 or so. Like,
easy.
On telly.
Had that Scouse lad doing the talking on it. Takeshi's Castle is up there with anything that's on television at any stage ever, like. It's just brilliant.
Did that originate in the 90s though?
It must have. If not, I'm like,
I would have said naughty, but like,
is it Strike or Rich or Strike It Lucky actually is the name of that show. Blockbusters.
Yeah. There's a few though, right? So
Does Cilla Black's one count? Blind Date.
Blind Date, yeah.
Is that a game show or is it?
Like, no, that's a game show, yeah. Like, so there's winners and losers out of that. Like, you know.
Oh, stop.
Like, Cilla's the winner, the rest of them are all losers.
Ta-da, love. That's a bit like the Paddy McGuinness one, the 90s version of the modern day Paddy, Take Me Out.
Oh, yeah.
Or First Dates or one of them. Blind Date was brilliant.
So, Tommy's answer was Big Break, which was the snooker one on BBC.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeez, Big Break.
Yeah.
It really takes you back, doesn't it?
I know,
modern game shows are shit, like.
I know.
What's that one? Like, would any modern game show made it back in the day? Like, the one with the fucking counters and your man is in it.
Tip Point.
None of them are good, are they? Like,
nah.
The Chase is bad.
Even Watch Call is gone, isn't it? Deal or No Deal. Like, that used to be an alright one, like, you know.
Do you know who was on that? Ollie fucking Murs was on that.
Oh, yeah.
Before he was famous.
And Watch Call is, when was Watch Call? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That was in the early 2000s, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say that was early 2000s, wasn't it?
Jeremy Clarkson, I haven't seen Jeremy Clarkson on it yet.
He's good enough, actually, I don't know.
Do you know what was a good one in the noughties? My grandmother used to love it. Late noughties, early 10s, was Golden Balls. Steal or Split.
Yeah, that was a good one.
He and my brother had this theory that you had to steal every time, because you could... If you stealth, you couldn't lose the money, but you could definitely win the money. Whereas if you split, you had a chance of losing.
Yeah, as in you had a...
So one, if you, if, you, if three, both split, it? You get a split.
Yeah.
If you stealth and another fella stealth, you lost it all.
Yeah.
And if you stealth and another fella split, you won the money.
Yeah.
So that's a good one by Tommy. Another thing, 90s TV shows / cartoons. Come at me with a few.
Taz, as we were saying earlier.
Taz and Tasmania, yeah.
Yeah, great ones. Cat Dog.
One Fine Day with a Wolf and the Power, maybe it was born to cause this. Or No Good Buddy, No Triad Frogs, V-Lan Kane and Lil Cat Dog. Cat Dog. The theme tunes of cartoons back then are so much better.
So good.
Rugrats.
Just about to say that was fucking quality as well.
Also, all the Warner Brothers stuff like was at its peak back then.
Yep. Ren and Stimpy, Three Eds,
Doug.
Jeez.
Hey Arnold.
Here.
Football head.
Man. Hey Arnold, right? There was one episode of Hey Arnold that went so, so dark. Like, literally, it was... So, basically, do you know what I mean? Like, he was living with his grandmother, right? And then, like, there's one episode where, like, he goes... Where basically, like, his parents, like, are killed in a plane crash or something, like. But he's just, like, up in his... You know, remember he lived in, like, the attic or something? Yeah, like, you know, right. Kind of like a... It was like a...
It is, like, apartment block, like.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, his room was, like, up in the kind of... Like, he had a slanted roof with a...
It was a converted attic.
Converted attic, yeah. Right.
They were all the rage at the time.
I know. I kind of live in one at the moment. But anyway...
That's a whole house.
But anyway, he was... There's one episode where he's, like, kind of fucking staring out the skylight, like. And he's there, like, fuck. Like, me poor parents, like, and the grandmother's coming up to him. But, like... I think, like, they definitely dealt with, like, much, like, deeper topics than, like, I'd say things do now, like, you know what I mean?
Well, as someone whose sister was born in 2000, so I spent the fucking noughties watching shite on, bearing the Big Blue House and fucking Miley Cyrus's, yo, Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Sure, was never a bad thing happened then, either.
No.
But even, like, say, for 90s... not even cartoons, because we were children in the 90s, but even other TV shows, like you had Seinfeld, Friends,
Sister,
never know whom with jam is Keenan and Kel, The Fresh Prince, which I know started in the 80s but ran through most of the 90s.
Yeah,
like, what a fucking era for television.
Saved by the Bell,
Renfrew Rejects.
Renfrew Rejects, what a fucking show, like. That show was fucking great because they ended up, like, having the initial first season and then they, like, completely, like, changed up the cast, like, you know? Like, but, like, absolutely fantastic. Like, they had the... What was the Italian fella's name?
I can't remember. Bunch of lads getting bet 10 deal every week and then they get the odd goal at the end.
Yeah, what was the name of that show on Sky One? So this isn't kids now, right?
So, Dream Team. I knew straight away where you're going. Carl Fletcher.
Yeah.
Linda, what's her name? Do you remember? She had the affair with the goalkeeper and then he got shot.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember they killed the captain by accident? They snipered him at the FA Cup final when they won the FA Cup.
Actually, TV shows, like, when you were growing up, right? What were you addicted to?
Dream Team was one of them.
Yeah.
Dream Team, Question of Sport.
Oh, go away.
I remember one day being absolutely dumbfounded. Liverpool were playing in the UEFA Cup on a Thursday night and Question of Sport was on it, Robbie Fowler was on it.
Mm.
And I couldn't get my head around it. My dad was trying to tell me, like, they recorded Question of Sport before.
Oh, yeah.
And I just couldn't, like, it just wouldn't register. I was only about 6 or 7 at the time.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool were playing Strasbourg or something in the UEFA Cup the same night. Robbie Fowler was starting and I was like, how is he on the telly there? And he's on the Question of Sport there, like.
Yeah.
Power Rangers.
I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers for a while, like.
Because there was a bit of fanny in it, like.
No, because there was a bit too much violence in it, like.
Because they were kicking shit at each other.
Yeah, kicking shit at each other.
No, I was obsessed with Power Rangers. I remember the Power Rangers movie coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to see the Power Rangers in Mill Street when I was about 4.
Yeah.
My parents brought me.
Yeah. So, I think, right, so younger years, right, I think I was addicted to Thomas the Tank Engine, right?
Yeah.
Like, actually, like, addicted, right?
So I was Bosco.
Okay, okay, good. Then, I think, late 90s, maybe 98 or so, I think I was addicted to Pokemon, the TV show.
Oh, listen, like, absolutely hooked on it.
Yeah.
But can I say, in the intervening period, home from school... Bag in the corner, put the den on, Rugrats.
Oh yeah, I think I was addicted to Rugrats, but I think like there was, like I think the den as a collective.
Yeah.
I think I was addicted to that as obviously like.
By the way, shout out to Ian Dempsey.
Oh, shout out to Ian Dempsey and your man who came after him.
Ray Darcy.
Oh, Ray Darcy, and who was your man who came after? Actually, your man who came after him, he didn't do much after.
I'm not sure. I'd say it was just our era.
No, but like
we actually, probably, I think we outgrew the Den as Ray Darcy finished. Like
no, we did, but like yeah. I think your man, because I think like I tried to give your man after a bit of a chance, like, you know, but like he wasn't Ray Darcy, like, but
no, like, he was moving on to the Bures at that stage.
But I still don't think, like, even still, yeah. I don't think, like, you don't know like, who he is, like. Dempsey, do you know what I mean? Like,
Dempsey's
I
think, Den, like, and then,
if like one of the lads who were on, say if Fergal Darcy had been on the Den, right? You'd know who he was because
Fergal is so man, like.
So man, right? Right. So yeah. So right after Pokemon, right? I say I switch on to wrestling. Then wrestling, I was dicked wrestling then.
Completely.
My dad had Sky for a while as well at that age, right? And I used to be like up fucking 2 a.m. in the morning watching, and that was fucking like the
SummerSlam and all that kind of stuff. Like.
The Attitude Era, like, you know, just pure pure Bures on TV, like. And then after that, then I think got addicted to Soccer AM. Soccer AM, fucking 7. You used to get up at 7 a.m. in the morning to get fucking Soccer AM, like.
See, like,
that's pure passion, like.
I think once you go from a Rugrats era for me into 7 a.m., Pokemon took over 100%. Like Pokemon, I was obsessed. I still am a little bit. I still have a Game Boy with Pokemon Yellow on it, and only for the batteries died. And bother replacing them, I probably still be playing it the other day. But I have to say, like, I got big into.
If you sponsor us on Patreon,
DJ
will get the Nintendo Switch and will buy the newest Pokemon game.
Possibly. I get Pokemon Go on my phone and I go on to Twitch.
Yeah.
How about that? I'll do that. We actually have a Twitch account that I set up just in case we ever get into something. But I must say then, when it came into the early 90s, like I was big into... Keenan McKell, I was big into. I got into My Wife and Kids an awful lot.
Oh my god! So I only got into that like in first or second year of college. My Wife and Kids used to be on
really?
The whole time.
Sounds like 2003, I'd say. 2003.
I hadn't seen it at all until like 2008, 2009.
I think it was around my confirmation. Around my confirmation, I started getting into it, and I came out around then. And My Wife and Kids is a big one for me. But like some of them TV shows are brilliant. Honourable mention that is not noughties at all to some of the, that is not 90s. Some of the noughties TV shows that came out, like How I Met Your Mother. I got big into. But then actually something I've only started and only finished the first series and into the second series now that you said it really picks up on is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So if you're watching that,
quality.
So like, that's outside the 90s. But listen, like, lads, we've actually fucking gone way over time and I don't regret it one bit. This has been lovely. Fucking Jeff's on the Tuesday might be where it's at.
Right, quick.
A quickie. Right. Just as I like it.
Favourite.
Don't have the energy for it more anymore.
Favourite 90s film.
Are you talking about me in the 90s or me now? Probably the same answer. Toy Story.
Oh.
Toy Story or Space Jam? No, Toy Story 1. It's Toy Story. Like, I can't go past Toy Story 1.
Yeah, man. I was a huge Disney kid. Like, you know, fucking
Samesies.
Love Disney. Like, even like now, like, fucking. Like, I go to any musical with girlfriend, like, just, I know, like, it's simply because of that, like, just fucking, that
they're
love
so
of
good,
fucking,
like
the love of the songs in it, like, it's fucking amazing.
We were lucky in the 90s that we got Lion King, Aladdin, Toy Story, Disney and Pixar came together. We got an awful lot of other ones. I Monsters, Inc., the first one, probably 99-ish, 2000.
Did it sneak in? Yeah.
But even Space Jam, like,
Space Jam, man. Yeah.
The Monsters. No, there's some absolute belters in the 90s there from film wise. That from a kid's point of view, from an adult point of view, I have to say, like, My Left Foot was genius.
My Left Foot. So much
was Collins
than
in the 90s.
The right one. What?
Collins in the 90s. Yeah. Fucking stellar cast for that as well. Like Liam Neeson, Aidan Quinn. Rick Hoffman, he's the guy in Suits.
Alan Rickman
played,
it's like Rick is definitely not his first name.
Alan Rickman, rest in peace actually. Now went on to play Severus Snape and various other brilliant characters, but he played De Valera and that, like,
yeah,
huge figure in Irish history, the first president of Ireland, I think. And
no, Doug Beside is the first president of Ireland.
Okay, he was president of Ireland twice, so.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there's something special about him.
Yeah,
president,
no, he is, yeah.
And someone in my granddad saved from drowning. I think I told that in a previous podcast. So, yeah, like, there's some great 90s movies there. But just simply because... And this is probably the whole reason we started talking about 90s today, even, because we were talking about, like, whether or not the era that you grew up in makes you think that a decade is better than any other one.
Yeah, that's what I think. I was trying to, like, add that with that 14 comment, like, yeah.
So I think that the 90s for me is probably the best era. Like, even from a sports point of view, like, the Premier League era had started, so soccer became an awful lot more mainstream. Sky Sports came in. Hurling really kicked on in the 90s, like, yeah, Wexford winning, Clare winning, stuff like this.
Yeah.
Limerick won in All-Ireland in hurling, and then, like, Cork won one towards the end. Like, it was just a brilliant one for sport as well. The Rugby World Cup really took off. Like, it was just one of them things that just fucking really... I think it's a decade that catapulted everything, and maybe it's just because.
Yeah, I think as well for like soccer as well. Like, you had the Premier League era, and you had the addition of Sky, and they just made everything, like, so much bigger and better. Like, you know what I mean? Huh?
I definitely said that.
Sorry.
But also the Champions League came into effect as well, and European football really took a step to the forefront. And I think for 10 years you had a series of different winners as well of the European Cup, like that really brought it on. And it wasn't won at all by an English club in the 90s until United won in 99. So, like, it was like, the reason I love Borussia Dortmund so much is watching them beat Real Madrid in 97.
Yeah.
Like, just some fantastic memories there. Look, the 90s were brilliant. Fucking brilliant.
Except for fashion. Some horrendous fashion.
Yeah, but play Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and say that the boys don't look cool. Like.
Yeah.
And even at that, like, boys in the hood.
And Andreas was only...
White Men Can't Jump.
Oh.
Boys in the Hood. Like, some brilliant stuff there. And look, lads, I think we've probably given you more than enough. If you haven't tuned out now, like, thanks a million for staying with us. Toy Story for me. So I'm going to pick a film, Toy Story, song from the 90s. I'm really struggling with that one. I'll skip it. And a game show from the 90s. Fuck it, we go in the street, because you used to watch it after Mass with my grandparents, and neither of them with us anymore, and I love them to bits. So.
Okay.
Sweet Danbar.
Okay. I'll go with film. I'll go with Don't Be a Menace in Sound Central.
Ooh.
Drinking Your Juice in the Hood.
Come on.
What was the next one? Song?
Song.
I'll go with No Scrolls by TLC.
Love it.
What was next?
I go Streets of Philadelphia, Bruce Springsteen, actually. So we've done film, song, game show.
Game show, Gladiators.
Okay. And finally, TV show.
The Simpsons started off in 89. Well, I think I'm going to say Simpsons.
The best of the Simpsons is in the
90s.
I'm going to say Pokemon Indigo League. And
I might say Simpsons or Father Ted.
Father Ted. Fuck me, lads. Look, what a fucking era for culture in general. Listen, thanks a million for staying with us this long. This has been probably a feature length episode of Snugcast at this stage.
Yeah.
It's just a sign of how much fun we've had. Two of us sitting here, Jeff Snug. Thanks to Jeff for having us. Thanks to the Blackskin Sale and Hogarden for fueling us.
My pulley.
For fueling us. Thanks a million, and again, reiterate, West Tan if you're going for fake tans. Patreon.com/Snugcast. Patreon.com/Snugcast if you want to donate to us. And follow us on social media, rate us, all the usual. Thanks a million to Jess Barr, Arkeen Stores as well, for hosting us with the video and stuff like that. Subscribe to us on YouTube, all the usual. I've been your host, DJ Walsh. He's been my co-host, Owen Tab.
Thank you.
We fucking love doing this. Thanks a million.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.